you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone brings this community together, allows us to make these broadcasts. And we start off every episode this way. We're not trying to have vain repetition. We're trying to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Kevin's doing that in Florida this weekend. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning. And I agree. It's unto him be glory, not unto us. Not into us. So yeah. I think a lot more can be done if we just go ahead and let him get the glory.
To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Man. Oh, that's some good stuff right there. So I want to talk. We're going to be talking about miracles. We continue on with an exegetical study of the Bible. We're going to be talking about Jesus healing the centurion's servant over in Matthew 8:5-13. But as we look at that, I can't help but think about humility. And there was humility involved with that. I remember the verses over in Philippians 2. Many of us have quoted them. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. That's some powerful stuff right there, folks. Having a transformation of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to be in the Word of God. We're so thankful that you're taking the time to do this. You need to be in your local church. And who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That name is Jesus. Every knee should bow of things of heaven and things of earth and the things under the earth. And, you know, as we look at this and we think about humility, we are a nation that is the opposite of being humble. We are a nation of arrogance. It's almost an antonym, I guess, is the word we used to call it in high school English, the complete opposite. And when we look at humility, well, the opposite of that is arrogance, I believe. The opposite of that, it's evil. But here's God's word saying, listen, let nothing be done that way. Now, we don't need any strife. We don't need any vainglory. No arrogance needed. No pride needed. No arguing needed. But let's do this in a lowliness of mind kind of way. Let's esteem other people better than we esteem ourselves. Let's worry about them. Let's just say, hey, that knucklehead who just cussed at me or cut me off, maybe that person's having a bad day. Let's look at things. Let this mind. And then, you know, that verse, I'm always messed up where it says, let this mind be in you. That's also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Kevin, we need to let Christ's mind be in us. We can't be conformed to this world, but we need to be in God's word, which is what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Again, what an honor. And thank you for picking out these subjects and scriptures. It's a great thing. Jesus Christ had the had the ultimate mind of humility. And, you know, I just can't help thinking that I need to be more like him. I think about this. Everywhere he went, he was the smartest one, yet he had no intellectual pride. Everywhere he went, he was the strongest. He could have called legions of angels. He could have done so many things. He was the smartest, strongest. You couldn't one-up him, yet he never one-upped anyone else. He just checked pride at the gate, or his, you could say he's not proud that way. He checked his majesty at the gate. He didn't go around majestic. He laid aside his glory, but yet it says we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. And so we could see in his humility, his glory. And the Bible says that, For the ungodly, their glory is their shame. But for the Christian, our glory is our character. You know, we glory in God, and by this humble placing ourselves under his hand, he lifts us up. And that's where I'm going with what I'm thinking about humility as you were talking there. The term humble yourself comes to mind in the scripture. There's four things popped up, humble yourself in the scripture. But the one that really jumps out is 1 Peter 5:16. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. God wouldn't command me to humble myself if it wasn't something I couldn't do. So it's an active thing I need to be constantly doing. Humble yourselves. And I picture it this way, Doug. His hand, it says he resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. So his hand is kind of pushing downward upon my pride, but it's lifting upward under those humble times. And if I am walking in pride, the Bible says, and they that walk in pride, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking, he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar, he one day looked out over his balcony and said, is this not great Babylon that I have made for the greatness of my glory and the glory of my kingdom and all this stuff? And he was just being the big guy in the room. And unfortunately, God said, okay, I've heard what you said. We're going to fix that. And he put him out in the field eating grass like an oxen. So God humbles us if we don't humble ourselves. And Doug, I've been there, man. I've gone into pride. I'm a guy that, you know, we males seem to be worse about pride. I've seen it. You know, I've heard women say, you know, they've got pride too. But, you know, anything that we can take credit for, we tend to take credit for. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And our glory in a job is being just faithful. The boss doesn't say, ooh, he's out there and he knows how good he is. No, the boss says, no, that guy's out there. He's just a faithful worker. Amen. And that's when we get exalted. And that's God's way of doing it. But if we act cocky, someone's gonna, you know, take a chip off our shoulder with their words or with their fist. And that's God's way of humbling ourselves. The Bible says if we don't hearken to the voice of understanding, a cruel messenger shall be sent to us. So God uses people to take the knock us down a notch. And sometimes God does it by himself through circumstances, knocks us off our high horse, car accident. There was a missionary, Brother Don Riley. He wouldn't mind sharing this. He's told me several times. He was up on a high tower, like fixing a radio tower. I think it was 50 feet tall or something. It's pretty tall. And it fell over while he was on it. And on the way down, he knew that God was chastening him. He knew exactly why. And his child was watching the thing crash to the ground. His child freaked out and ran away and left him there. And but he just knew God was humbling him under the mighty hand of God. And the good news is, whether he humbles us or whether we humble ourselves, there will be exaltation if we take our lumps. And Doug, there's times I've had to take my lumps and said, wow. I remember a time I lost my driver's license. I was a preacher. I was working a job where I had to be road salesman, had to be an appointment on time. So guess what? I got pulled over for speeding four times in 1 year. Boom, you lose your license. That was a bad day. You know what? God had me stay at home for 90 days. And it was a bad time. But guess what? I took my lumps and I came out of it saying, okay, God, you're bigger than I expected, bigger than I thought, and I'm a lot smaller. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, there was a F.B. Meyer. Frederick Brotherton Meyer was a contemporary of D.L. Moody. You've heard us on this broadcast before. Speak of D.L. Moody, a person that was a pastor and an evangelist, really changed so many things in the United States and the way we do church and the way we do missions. And Moody Bible Institute to this day is producing champions, I believe. I mean, they got off a little bit, but back in the day of Moody, they weren't. But F.B. Meyer was his contemporary in England and one of his best friends. F.B. Meyer started missions all through England, all through the world, came to the United States, helped out, pastored a great church, was a Baptist preacher over there. And he wrote this from his nursing home bed. F.B. Meyer wrote a friend a few weeks before his death as follows: "I am now 82 and in a nursing home. I want to tell you that the Spirit of God has been showing me lately that I have acquired a reputation for sanctity by my own books," or sanity. Sanctity. Yeah. Sanctifying himself by my own books. "This may grow upon me. It makes me want to creep into heaven unnoticed." Boy, I want to creep into heaven unnoticed. Folks, we'll be right back with you. Don't go anywhere.
Return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Folks, thanks for hanging with us as we continue on with a verse-by-verse exegetical study of the life of Christ. We find ourselves in the book of Matthew. We're going to be talking about the centurion and his servant, and his servant lieth home sick. We're going to be talking about that miracle. You'll find it in Matthew 8, 5 through 13. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. But speak thy word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say this man, go, and under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this and do that. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour, in the same time." We remember we could go deeper on this. We remember with when the centurion got there, when was he healed? And so we know that palsy, you know, here's this guy, it's paralysis, it's torment, it's craziness. Palsy caused so many things to go on. Some people couldn't walk on one side of their bodies. Their bodies just started dying back in the time. There was no medicine back then for it. And but this guy, he right away, he shows his faith in Christ. He says, you know, as for me and the people I command, he says, I'm a man, I'm under authority, and every one of us are under the authority of God, and every one of us are under authority for those people we work with. But despite his high rank, the centurion is totally humble. I'm kind of blown away by that. This centurion, probably commanding what we would call at least a battalion today, hundreds of people. I tell people to do this, I tell people to do that, and my servant takes care of all those little things at home, and I'm not worthy of anything you got. He recognizes that Christ alone can fix this. You have the authority, you have the power, you can do this, and Jesus marvels. Isn't a wonderful thing when your Savior just can't believe the faith of this guy? No, nobody in Israel has this guy's faith. You know, there's going to be people who sit right now at the castle, and the king, and they're going to be in hell. They're going to be gnashing their teeth. They're going to be screaming. They're going to want out. It's going to be terrible. But here's this centurion coming here all the way for his servant, just a lowly servant that he loves. Do you love people like that, folks? Are you all in? Are you an intercessor? Are you all in? Do you show that kind of humility? And, you know, in Jesus, I think he's, I almost think, I looked at this and I thought about this a few minutes ago when Kevin was speaking earlier, and I go back to this idea, man, Jesus is slapping the Israelis here. And he's saying, man, you guys don't get this. And, and you know, folks, we need to have that kind of faith that's beyond boundaries. We need to kind of, we need to have that humility in prayer. We need to have the confidence in God and his word. And God always responds in faith, Kevin. God's got our backs.
Yes, he does. Man, I'm so impressed by this scripture here because, you know, Jesus Christ finds a man who's gone through some junk. By the way, most of the miracles are Jesus Christ coming in the middle of someone's life and the guy's gone through junk and he intervenes. And that's the plan of God in one way or another, either to give you grace to go through it or healing to go, you know, to take it away. And so often these miracles were miracles of healing, but just to be plain, God did not heal Paul, and there's some other people in the scripture as well, but there's God heals eventually, and Job is a good example, after that ye have suffered a while. But I'm thinking about this, Doug. Here's this centurion. He comes, he says, my servant has his palsy, and so true. I never thought about palsy being like he could have, yeah, had a like a Bell's palsy or whatever, you know, kind of just droopy this on the one side. And he's like, no, I don't want to lose this servant situation. Plus, I feel really bad for the guy. He's not only my you know, my lawnmower, my vacuum cleaner, my dishwasher, trash compactor. He is, you know, he's a human, and I love the guy. And so this centurion who came to Jesus had a terrible need. And I got thinking, you know, why do we go through these terrible needs? I mean, I hate it when I wake up in the morning and then somewhere between morning and night, I get blindsided by bad news or a situation. You know, there's something that happens and it troubles us, it upsets us. And what was a pretty cool day has become a miserable day. And, you know, but we need to evaluate. I need to evaluate. Is it a miserable day? What is, you know, my extremity? In other words, I've reached the end of my ability to help here. Is God's, what's the rest of that? My extremity is God's opportunity. And as he looks at this thing, this is faith being put to a trial. Now, remember, it says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 that the trying of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be found into praise and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's designed into my day sometimes to put faith like a gem on a trial. On display through use of a trial. And that's just the way, the idea that in 1 Peter, it says, the trying of your faith being more precious than gold, the pair. What's more precious than gold, the trial? No, in context, it's faith, because both of them are tried. Faith is tried and gold is tried. So this is God's opportunity to do something in our life in response to faith. Am I going to believe God despite the trial? Man, I wish I did better at that. Job handled his so well when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I want to just, Doug, you say it over and over. We have a big God. I want to, whatever route the trial is taking me through, I want it to be the shortest distance between two points. What point? The point of impact and the point of affirming faith, unwavering faith. I want to have this humble faith in a big God, because God's putting it on display, and God brought this man to a tremendous place because of his faith. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And we know that a centurion, just his soldiers are 100. And his soldiers are in charge of volunteers and Jews and things like that. Here's this Roman guy with incredible power. Many believe, I had a seminary professor who said, you know, that centurion led 100 Romans soldiers. And how many did those Roman soldiers lead? And he cared that much about God. He put everything first. He stepped out. Folks, I'm telling you, we got to have faith that's beyond boundaries. We got to have humility in prayer. That's where it's going to come from. You know, the practical piece of this is faith beyond boundaries. Trust in God. Trust in God for the people we love. Trust in God for us and where we're going in our lives. Trust in God to take the scum away and just make us white as snow and live in that way. Trusting in God. Trusting in God to be what God has for us. Hey, wear that smile today that only God can give you. Make sure you come on back tomorrow as we continue on with a verse-by-verse study of the life of Christ. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.